Well, we have been led in prayer. Our minds have been directed to God by Otis. And Cameron has directed our minds in God's Word, portion of His story to us. Kent has led us in some songs to direct our mind to praise and worship our God, to encourage one another, and Ron has done a great job directing our minds to the Lord's Supper to remind us of the gift that we have, the gift that we have through Jesus our Lord. You know, every day is a gift. Amen, church. Today, don't forget this. We get so busy, but right now, this moment is a gift to all of us. This is life, isn't it? We don't have any guarantee of what tomorrow is going to bring, if there even is a tomorrow. And so let us remember, as we go through this worship service, as we spend time in this lesson, as I do the best that I can, direct your mind for a few minutes to the Word of God, to feed your mind, to feed your heart and your soul. Let us be in the moment and just think about the gift that we have. I started last week, and I want to carry on with one more lesson on that topic of being a fan or a follower. Now, I know you're all followers, okay? I'm a follower, you're a follower. That's just a disciple. But sometimes the way that we live or get caught up in life, we're not living like followers, are we? There are moments that I am not thinking as a follower should think, acting as a follower should act. And so in that idea, I'm more like a fan. And I want to talk about that this morning. The reason I asked the question last week, are you a fan or a follower, is because I want to continue to be a follower of Jesus, and I know you do. That is what God wants. This isn't about me. This isn't really about you. This is ultimately about God. And our responsibility as disciples, as Christians, followers of Jesus. I heard this story. This is the craziest race I have ever heard of. If you've heard of a better one than this, a crazier one than this, you tell me. It's a race apparently in India. It's a bicycle race. And everybody lines up at the starting line. And after the gun goes off, the point of this race is to see who can stay on the bike the longest and go the shortest distance. Go figure. We're totally opposite of that, right? Anyone who puts their feet on the ground, touches the ground at any point, you're out of the race. You're disqualified. You're no longer in the race. And so whoever stays balanced, we got to try that as a church sometime, right? Whoever can stay balanced the longest and go the shortest amount of distance wins the race. You know, when I heard that story and I was working through this lesson, I thought, you know, there are times in my life when that was kind of like how I was living my life in my faith. As little as possible, the shortest distance, you get the idea, the shortest distance that I could go. I was acting like a fan and not like a follower of my and our Lord Jesus. You know, a friend of mine sent me a text last night, actually, because he's growing and he's faced some challenges in his life. And he's reading The Message today, and they give little wise sayings. You probably read them. You know, you'll read a chapter or a section of Scripture, and it gives you a wise saying. He sent this to me. It was timely. It said in The Message today, quote, "There are some Christians who can't be called pilgrims because they never make any progress." I thought that was good. And that's the mentality of a fan of Jesus, not a follower. So let's look at this for a moment and the topic and set our minds on this topic. Let me share a few things about being a fan versus a follower. Number one, if you're taking notes, if I'm not intentionally focused on being perfected in the likeness or image of Christ, I'm more like a fan than a follower. If I'm not intentionally focused on being perfected in the image more and more like Jesus, in that I have not arrived, then I am not, I am more like a fan and not like a follower. Our Lord, as was just brought to our mind and reminded to us again, was killed on a cross, buried in a tomb. They thought all hope was lost, but then we know on the third day he raised up, delivered himself, God's power delivered him from death to life to bring hope to the rest of the world, to you and I today, to right now in this moment. And why did he do all of that? What was the purpose of all of that? It was God's desire, right? But he didn't do all of that just to make a plea with people to be his fans. Ultimately, when we look at Scripture, we know as we read about Jesus, he wasn't really concerned if people liked him. Jesus wasn't like me. I want you to like me. You want others to like you to some degree. We don't want to be hated or disliked. That wasn't a concern of Jesus. He wasn't concerned if people liked him. He wasn't concerned that people would be his fans. He wanted followers. I think if he was around today with our social media and Facebook and all that, he wouldn't be concerned about people liking his page. I kind of am concerned. I like that, right? We like it. That's part of our culture. That was not Jesus. Go to Mark's gospel. Go to the beginning of Mark's gospel. Remember, the gospel was being brought into the world. The kingdom of heaven was at hand. It was here. It was a process. It was coming into that world. The reign of God, the very rule of God upon that world, everything was changing. And it was coming through Jesus. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Mark chapter 1. That was verse 14. Verse 16. And he was going along by the Sea of Galilee. He saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting their nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." There is the very beginning and heart of discipleship, of being a follower, as Jesus brought this into the kingdom. Now we know that the disciples had a special, they were the first, the original 12. They had a special mission before Jesus ascended back up to the throne of God. We read last week, Matthew 28, 18 and following, the Great Commission, where he said to them, "You are to go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. And you are to baptize them, the nations, into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." And so they got the ball rolling. And it continues on today, and we are all a part of it. By the way, there are some great lessons to learn from fishermen. Now, I thought I was going to get an amen there for a moment. We got a lot of fishermen here. I love to fish. A lot of you like to fish. I know that. There's some really, and I think that's why we have this metaphor. Because there are some great lessons for us to learn from fishermen. What is their mission? Ultimately, when you go out to fish, you want to catch fish. That's very complex, I know. We go fishing because we want to catch fish. That ultimately is our mission. Now, I know we like to get away and other things like that. And I know that in Jesus' time, it was different. They didn't have a pole and a rod and reel, and they didn't cast that out there and retrieve a lure. They had nets, that different kinds of nets, but they would go to where the fish were in their boats, and they would cast their nets, and they would catch whatever fish they could catch. That was the fisherman's mission. You know what else I realized upon thinking about fishermen? And thinking about even my life, going fishing quite a bit, especially as a younger kid. And growing up in California, I loved to go fishing out in the ocean. That was my favorite. But when you smell like fish, right? When you're a fisherman, the longer you're around the fish, guys, you know we start begin to smell like the fish. Because you got to clean the fish and all the other things that are involved. The more you're around fish, the more likely you are to smell like the fish. I think about my kids and my childhood and how it changes through the years. When my kids go fishing and they come back home, they always smell like fish. I don't usually smell like fish anymore because I don't like to touch them as much as I used to. Have you ever noticed how kids want to handle every fish? They not only want to keep every fish, whether it's little or medium or large, but they want to take home every fish. And so they tend to smell like fish. I want you to think about this principle and think about Jesus' life and how he brought the example of what God's leadership and God's ways are all about. Leadership is for every one of us. Are you a servant? If you are a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, you are a servant. And if you are a servant, according to him, you are a leader. Do we not influence? Because leadership is influence. Were we not told to let your light shine before men in such a way that they may what? See your good works. And glorify God who is in heaven. That's leadership. I want you to look for a moment at Luke chapter 22. Every one of us is a leader. I think of this. You know, everybody wants to be great at some point in their life. I think we've all wanted to be somebody. Nobody wants to be nobody. We want to be somebody. We want to amount to something in our world. Difference makers. I call this the Muhammad Ali moment of the disciples because they were no different than we are today. Remember Muhammad Ali, I am the greatest when he was boxing, and he was probably the greatest. He said, I said that before I knew I was really great. When he was a young man, he was saying that. But the disciples had this very topic of conversation. Who do you think is going to be greatest in the kingdom? I think, I don't know what Peter said, but perhaps he was up front. I think it might be me, you know. He wants to be somebody. And then Jesus, as the master, will teach them by his very own life and show them by his example what it means to be great, what it means to be a leader, what it means to be first in the kingdom. You know it. You've heard it so many times. There was a dispute. This is chapter 22 of Luke, verse 24. We'll look at verse 25. And he said to them, there was the dispute. Who was regarded as the greatest, the best? The kings of the Gentile lorded over them, Jesus said. They have those who have authority over them, and they're called benefactors. But it is not this way with you. But the one who is the greatest among you must be like the youngest. And the leader like the servant. For who is greater? The one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves. You know, I can't imagine how quiet it was when our Lord taught in his ministry, and this was one of the moments. I can't imagine what it was like as he taught the most valuable lesson of what it means to be a leader, and that is to be a servant. And so he calls the disciples to influence other people's lives, to be followers of him by being a servant. Number two, if I'm not intentionally focused on worshiping God each week, are you focused on worship? I know it's hard sometimes. We have a lot on our minds. But we have to be intentionally focused on worshiping God each week, because if I'm not, I'm acting more like a fan of Jesus rather than a follower. He wants my undivided attention. Worship is in spirit and in truth, according to God's word, and it's in here. He wants my mind, and he wants your mind. All of us, see, it's not about me or you. It is about him. And it is our focus of being intentionally focused on worshiping him. Go to Acts chapter 2 again. Last week I brought this to your attention. We'll glance at it again just for a moment. You know, it'd be really nice if I turned my microphone on. I just noticed it was not turned on. Hopefully you can hear me okay. This is the second time I've done that. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Now remember, this was opening day. This was when the church began. It started to grow. Notice their attention. There had been 3,000 souls added to the kingdom. Verse 42. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. Devotion. Fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and notice, to prayer. So the apostles' teaching of the word of God, they got the importance of it. The breaking of the bread, the communion, brought into focus of who they were, what had been accomplished for them, and what is expected of them. The fellowship, as they came together, they realized how important it was to be among one another. Notice their devotion also was to togetherness, was to fellowship. Did you know that there are commands in the Bible that you cannot obey without each other? You can't obey it on your own. You can't obey it being alone. You can't obey it worshiping by yourself, all alone, on a mountain somewhere in Colorado or wherever else. You know, one of the most important things of our worship and fellowship, and the disciples got it. They devoted themselves to it. They understood that if they were not together, they could not encourage each other. It's not possible. That's one of the greatest commands. Go read all the one another passages. Why did the Hebrew writer, you know, the chapter 10, 24 and verse following, the not forsaking of the assembling together as is the habit of some. The point is encouragement. Encourage one another as you see the day drawing near. You know what? Tomorrow may not come because this is the only moment we have. And I need encouragement, and so does everybody in the body and in the fellowship. Notice they devoted themselves to prayer. Yes, when they were together. And we don't know everything about prayer. We don't understand it completely. But we know that we have the example that prayer was important. And so they continually devoted themselves together to prayer to God. That's very important. You know, last week I stressed the point of followers being formed again into the very likeness and image of Jesus. And I came across a verse this week that I want you to put it in your heart if you can this week, Psalm 16:8, to be just like David, the king, the warrior king David, who said, I love this, I have set the Lord continually before me. What does that mean to you? I have chosen to set the Lord continually before me. And worship is a part of that. When we gather together. And you can do this when you're driving in your car to work. I know some of you do that when you're driving to work. Set the Lord continually before you. Third point. Followers intentionally come to worship. And it provides four things. And I'll quickly share these. And the lesson is yours. Number one, we come to worship because, and these are interchangeable, but it revives us as followers of Jesus. It's a revival time, isn't it? Do you ever, are you ever revived? Now, I know I'm not perfect in my communicating. I know song leader's not perfect. The prayer people aren't perfect. The announcements are. You know, it amazes me that God has chosen to do all this through earthen vessels. That he would save man through fallen people like me and you. And it's an amazing thing. It is an absolute amazing thing. But we come together and we're revived when we come together. Just like the church in the first century. Go back to Acts 2. Look at verse 43. Just after their continual devotion, everyone was feeling a sense of awe. Something was happening when all of this stuff was going on. And something should happen here as we devote ourselves. As the word is taught, it revives. When we look upon the emblems and what they mean for our lives and the wonders of God, it revives. When we fellowship together with each other, it should revive. When we pray together to our God, it revives. Worship should revive us. I think that's a very important part of being a follower. Number two, it renewed. It renewed them. Time together was a renewal time. A time for me not to worry about my week. I worry a lot. To not worry about my life and the situations of my life and the problems of my life and the problems of my path. Right now is the Lord's time. It's a time to be renewed. Discipleship is not only a relationship with God that we're forming, but discipleship is about hope. Isn't it? We need hope, don't we? We need something out here to grab a hold of, because hope is what will develop us more and more into followers of Jesus. So it renews. Number three, worship reassures us. One of the best things, I think, about this fellowship and our worship time together is the constant reassurance of our story. You know, sometimes we look at this and we say, this was Israel's story. Was it? Yeah. Do you know this is your story? Right now, here today, Windsor, Colorado, 2016, this is our story. We are part of this. And when we come together to worship, it reassures us of who we are. Look, there's a lot of stories in our world that are competing, that want you, and you know it. When we come here, we remind ourselves of the one true story. Let me tell you a story about Fred Craddock. He tells this story about a man named Scott Momaday. He had a PhD from Stanford, Pulitzer Prize winning author, but he is also a Kiowa Indian. He told a story, Scott Momaday tells the story one day when he was a little boy, just a little guy. His daddy came and he got him, took him by the hand to a house of an old Indian woman who was a Kiowa squaw. He left there and told him that his dad told him he was going to come back later. Well, she began to tell him stories. She would sing the songs about their people. She would tell stories about how their people came out of a hollow log in the Yellowstone River. She would tell of the old buffalo hunts and the fights with other Indian tribes. And she would tell about the arrival of the white man and their capture and their being placed or put into a reservation. It was after dark when his daddy came to get him. And here's what Scott Momaday said about that memory of his childhood and that in his life. He said, quote, "When I left her house, I was a Kiowa. I was a Kiowa." What happens in that story? It's kind of like what happens here. You see, he had a purpose. He now knew who he was. He now knew where he came from. He now knew why he is here and what he is to be about in his mind, to be a Kiowa. And isn't that like our story? As we gather together, as we come back together, as we sing, as we commune, as we are brought, the story is brought to our attention again of who we are. We are Christians. We are followers of Jesus. Craddock went on to say, to be a Christian is to be enrolled in the story. And anybody who can't remember any further back than his or her own birth is an orphan. That's a sobering quote. Everything we do this morning is a retelling of our story. And last point, lesson is yours. It realigns us. Worship, when I come here, you realign me. Everything that's happened this morning realigns my heart. Because again, we know how easy it is to get off track. I had breakfast with a great brother and friend this week who encouraged me on Thursday, and this was one of the points we talked about that he brought out. It's good to get together and encourage each other because it's so easy for us to get off track. The world wants to derail us. It's so easy to be derailed, and this is a time to get back on track. And this is why it's so important. Whatever we do the moment we walk in to when we leave, whether we're teaching or whether we're just in class and encouraging each other, whether you're up front preaching, whether you're doing the announcements, leading the songs, leading a prayer, you have a vital part in realigning everybody again with our story. So, are you a fan or a follower? I know the answer to that. You're a follower. And I want to encourage you to continue to follow Jesus today and every day of your life. Follow him. And if you're not following him right now, I'd encourage that you do that. Maybe you have not been baptized into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and this is a time in which you can do that and become a follower of Jesus. If we can help you in any way, we're going to stand and sing. Kent's going to lead us. Would you come while we sing the invitation song?